This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, April 8th, 2010.
Okay, it's now 4:47. The meeting shall now commence. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Present.
Here.
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 Excuse. Excuse. Here. Excuse.
Here.
Excuse. Here. Unexcused.
Yep.
Here.
Excuse. Excuse.
Here.
Excuse. Not excuse.
I thought I saw her.
She was a friend.
Who?
John.
Unexcused.
That's a weird.
Okay. Now moving on to approval of the minutes. Last week's minutes have been sent to you all from April 1st. Is there any motion?
Proclamation.
There's been a call for acclamation. Any seconds? Okay, seeing no dissent, the minutes are approved. Now on to a calendar and strategic plan draft update. I'll combine both. So basically, hopefully, through this next upcoming week, we'll go through the calendar that Provost Fox sent out and that I forwarded to you all, and we'll have a response to that, as well as the strategic plan, which a number of senior administrators are discussing currently in New York City. Representative Desai is late. And also, now that the NCAA tournament has finally come to a thrilling end, I'd like to thank Cornell's basketball team on a very magical season and inspiring us all. And we wish the graduating seniors, as well as Steve Donahue, best of luck as he goes off to Boston College. We have a Women's Issues Committee update by Representative Rapp. Lollipop?
All right. So the Women's Issues Committee completed our lollipop distribution. I just want to thank all the student assembly members that did show up and distribute. Your guys' help was great. I also just want to call out Christian Welch, Representative Welch. She was instrumental in helping with this. We handed out all the lollipops, about 1,000 of them, within an hour and a half, so about half the time frame that we gave it to. And a lot of people were really receptive of it. I'll be speaking with CUPD next week to see if any changes have happened with the escort service, and I'll get back to you guys on that.
Okay. Any questions for Representative Rapp? Okay. Also, we have a couple of event announcements. Assistant Dean Karen Miller has informed me that April 19th at 7 p.m. in Statler Auditorium, there's going to be a speaker hypnosis event. It's called College Live It, Love It, and Celebrate It. It'll be about stress relief and stress management. Also, Big Red Relief, who presented a few weeks back, will be having their concert this Sunday, April 11th, in Barton Hall. So let them know if you would like tickets. They offered us a discount. Instead of $10 per person, it would be $8.50. Now we have a new exec committee announcement by President-elect and Vice President of Communications, UPS.
All right, everybody. So I guess this is the official announcement for next year's executive committee. So the Vice President for Internal Operations will be Adam Gitlin. Vice President for Finance is Adam Nicoletti. Vice President for Public Relations is Natalie Raps. And the ex officio members, Paul Antarian, is going to be Mike Gould. Executive Archivist is going to be, again, Corey Earle. And Director of Elections is Charlie Fang. So congratulations to all for the next year's executive committee.
All right, we have a hometown school update by Representative Buckley.
Just a letter, I guess it's an FYI. Conrad and the Hilton Foundation donated $1 million to the school to fund about 10 to 15 students' tuition for the next few weeks. So I just want to let you guys know that you're aware of thank you to the Conrad and Hilton Foundation.
Okay, so I believe you all have seen or read some coverage of President Scorton's response on the non-discrimination clause. We've invited him to come before his scheduled meeting on April 29th, but unfortunately his schedule wouldn't allow it, so he'll be coming along with the University Council, I believe VP Murphy, on April 29th to discuss the non-discrimination clause, among other things. We're also planning to send out an invitation according to Resolution 43, I think that was passed by Representative Smith, to all the deans, also inviting them to come to any one of the remaining four SA meetings to present on the status of their colleges. Now, any other announcements before the microphone?
I'll give a quick announcement, but please do open the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so quick dining committee update. We had our meeting last Tuesday. Just to let you guys know, our last meeting of the year is going to be Tuesday, April 20th in Hughes Dining Hall. So for those of you who haven't been there, that's over in the law school, and I really encourage you to come, kind of an end-of-the-year wrap-up. And for those of you that have come to dining committee meetings, you know that a lot of free food, and it can get exciting sometimes. But the biggest update is that we started using 100% local beef this week. So you'll see advertisements for that, especially down in Ivy Room. So they're rolling that out now. But what that means is that the local beef comes within a 40-mile radius and is processed within 65 miles. So it's pretty exciting. You know, it's Cornell's commitment to sustainability, and we're continuing that.
Okay. Now moving on to open microphone. If anyone from the audience would like to address the assembly on any matter that is currently not on the agenda, please step forward.
Yeah, so I kind of harped on this a few weeks ago, but definitely more students on university administrative department committee, and I think as a trustee, whoever it is will have input on that, so pushing that, I'm sure both graduate students and undergraduates are in places where decisions are made and that our feedback is taken into account.
Any other questions, comments for Nighthawk? All right, thank you for coming, Nighthawk, and we wish you the best of luck.
Yeah.
Okay, now moving on to unfinished business, Resolution 64, UA Undergraduate Representative Application Forms, whose title should be changed.
So, you know, while Ram is getting set up, I want to thank Mike Bayman over there for the Twitter updates. As I was walking over, I was, you know, got a little Twitter updates, just making sure there's no cool or anything. So that was great.
I don't know if I can vote for it now.
Great. I'll open up the speakers list. Representative Brockman.
Okay. Thank you, President Stone, for taking all of our input. As someone who sits on the University Assembly presently, you got to understand that it is a constituent assembly that every other governing body actually just appoints their own members to it. So we had it before where, you know, it was an essay runner-up getting into the UA seat by default. That equated the two assemblies, and I think that this more applicant form is how the structure should work. So with that, I'm going to vote.
Second. All right, there's been a second. Any dissent? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and vote. So this is a charter change, so it needs two-thirds. It's a bylaw vote, sir. Two-thirds members present, which is 10 votes. So with the third... Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. By a vote of 12-0-0, Resolution 64 passes. 0-3, I'm sorry. 12-0-3, Resolution 64 passes. Great, so I'll open this up to speakers as well. And any community member that wants to speak on this as well, just raise your hand. Nobody? All right, so I'll entertain motions for a vote. I can call it, right? Yeah, so I'll call it a question. Resolution 67? So I guess...
Dissent.
All right, so all in favor of voting right now? Raise your hand.
One, two,
three, all against. Four to one.
Well, I wanted to speak.
All right, so first on the speakers list is VP Basil.
Yeah, so My questions for this resolution are the exact same as they were last week. Essentially, anybody in this room who's a representative who's in a contract college should vote against this resolution. You're essentially hampering your college's ability to meet your constituents' financial needs. That is all. I suggest everyone votes no.
Could you elaborate?
Great. Next.
Okay. So, again, essentially what this is mandating that the state of New York increases tuition at the exact same amount every year, regardless of anything that's going on in the world, and that Cornell can only increase its tuition by a maximum of the exact same amount every year. It basically gives you this tiny little window of flexibility, but all the university's ability to meet our financial challenges on a very far, and essentially in any way that we want, is taken away for the contract colleges.
Great. Anybody else on the speaker's list?
Essentially,
hang on, hang on. Anybody else on the speaker's list?
Motion to extend time.
All right.
So, yeah, essentially what this is doing is this is an attempt to reduce educational inflation by limiting rates of increases for tuition, but in effect what it's going to do is it's going to mean that college is just going to increase tuition by the exact same amount every year, because since they can't predict what they're going to do, they're just going to do the maximum that they can.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. 30 seconds to respond. Great. Representative Welch? Great. Representative Gitlin? Nobody else in the speech. I have a quick question for you. Do you know if the SUNY Student Assembly voted on this resolution or something similar?
Yeah, I don't think they have. I think it will probably be voted on in the next.
Okay. Do you know if this is similar to the rational tuition increase proposal put forth by the SUNY Student Assembly?
This is so they actually in the first Vietnam War result, that's what they're advocating.
Thanks. All right. Seeing. Oh, Representative Welch.
Okay.
Basically, again, for those who've taken economics from university, as Representative Brockman pointed out, last year the contract colleges increased tuition by 8%. So obviously this will be restricting it well below that. So, you know, we're in a situation right now where the university is trying to raise more money through tuition to cover the financial shortfall. That's not necessarily going to be the case in the future. We may be in a situation in the future where we have more largesse in our financial needs, but because of these restrictions that we want to impose on ourselves right now, we essentially are putting ourselves in a position where we're going to be asking for the maximum cap each year because we don't know what the future is going to hold. So instead of allowing the university to have the flexibility to, say, increase tuition by 8% this year and 2% the next year, they're just going to increase it by 6% every single year in the future.
Great. VP Vitella.
Sorry? No.
It's VP Littell's time.
No, I yield my time to the chair.
All right, VP Andrews. You want
to? So, I mean, I completely agree with the idea that the university limits its tuition increases. The only thing is that the university, I think, under different constraints than the state colleges are. The state colleges do have tax revenue that, you know, the state needs to allocate and create more money to the state universities if need be, because they can rely on different sources of revenue, while the universities relies on charitable donations and the tuition revenue. That being said, I'd be completely supportive of a resolution saying that now that we're kind of moving out of this time of economic distress, that we don't increase tuition. But I don't know how I feel about forcing, you know, the university to adhere to a policy like this.
Yeah. So, one of the reasons I felt the need to present this is that the Biden technology just put up a huge chunk of the entire student essay budget to the point where I think at the last meeting, there was very support of some sort of bill that would reduce Cornell's share of the overall tuition. I think seeing as how we are, we play such a large role, I think that we should hold ourselves to the main standards so as the school can join them in their success. I think a number of colleagues have also been in support of this bill, as well as, I think, I'm guessing, the other existing schools. So I think we should join that.
Great. Does anybody want to speak that has not spoken yet? No. All right. So because there's nobody else on the speakers list, we will go ahead and vote.
Okay.
This needs one half to pass.
Abstain?
No. Abstain for now. It's okay.
Abstain.
You can pass.
I'm sorry? 3-5-7, this fails.
Next up is Resolution 69, a resolution regarding the Student Innovation Fund.
Thank you.
experience the day that we're heading to the next spring and successful to our position as possible. And, you know, fundamentally, I think it's an issue of efficiency as well. Great mentoring with our media department last year and today. Most often, you know, we're overcreating understructure. That is the creation of that. But, you know, I think, again, it's in terms of efficiency, in terms of accountability, that's an important change.
VP Bit.
Yeah, so I personally think that the that self-review and self-examination is absolutely essential for the essay, and that that should be an ongoing process. I forwarded Vince and Ray the internal review that former President Alon Greenberg conducted 2 years ago of the essay, and hopefully you guys, when you have time over the summer, I guess you guys raising that here, hopefully you and Ray will look over that over the summer when you have time and take those ideas into account, because there were a lot of good ideas in that report. So I think that Nikhil hits it right on when he says that essentially we're overcommitted. And really, in my mind, too, that there's nothing that another essay committee doesn't already cover under its purview. And duplication really just breeds lack of direction.
Representative Brass.
Have you been in contact with the people that are part of the innovation council?
Yeah, we have been in contact with the
We can.
Yeah.
File change, right? Oh, never mind, that was one.
Okay. So, next week, we do go in. Obviously, you see that the co-chair are completely absent. So, we're going to try to do the
department. Sure. Actually, I have a question.
Okay. So, from what I can tell from the situation, the people who are on this committee that doesn't really have an essay liaison just kind of want to do their own thing. And, you know, that's fine. They could do their own thing. But as of now, we still have this committee. So before we go without eliminating it, you know, I'm looking at its purpose and its purview, and I can see why we would want to put this sort of committee into our charter a couple of times. I could also see why maybe it went defunct because people were interested in other things. But I would see it succeeding if anyone in this assembly really wanted to go with it. So before we vote on it, I think if anyone thinks that they like this idea of the Student Innovation Council and think they can make it succeed as an essay committee, you know, please take the time to say so.
Responsible for ensuring that finally this decision involves the Sunday action.
think the idea of the committee is to overlap, though, right? It is to think outside the box. It is to get new ideas and to reach out as much as possible.
Point of information.
Right. Yep.
I mean,
point of information.
I'm not arguing that part.
Got it. Point of.
I'm just. All right. Do you have any idea when this was put in the charter?
Student activity forum.
SIC. No, SIC was put in the charter.
Last fall.
So I thought it was in there before.
No, it was a student activity forum before we changed.
Okay.
Yeah.
But do you know when that was put in the charter? Okay. Okay. So, okay. I was just curious whether there was, like, you know. Okay.
Okay, next up is Representative Mink.
Yes.
Anyone else on the first speaker's list before we move on to the second? Okay, VP Big.
So, I guess the only thing in the charge of the SIC that I think the essay doesn't address is, as Representative Brockman said, this idea of just increased involvement and generating ideas or just increased interest in student government. And I think we've addressed that even better in, I think it was your resolution to lift committee cap members and
Volusia,
yeah, which is a fantastic resolution. And I think that idea in terms of getting more people involved in each committee is fantastic, getting people interested and excited in the things that they, you know, really want to target and focus on. And again, because SIC just really doesn't have a focus at all, I think it lacks the ability to really delve into issues and solve issues. Rather, it just kind of skims across at, you know, a high level. And really, ultimately, I don't think accomplishes much.
Anyone else? Okay. Would you like to move this to business legislative? Oh, okay. Charlie. Sorry. Okay.
Could you try and come with the co-chair next time?
I mean, yeah. Again, you're invited.
Cool. Okay. Now I think we can move on to Resolution 62. The Freedom Fall. Oh,
you don't want to get it.
Yeah, I think.
What is this?
You'll have 5 minutes to present if you'd like.
Well, it would have to be a new resolution.
Oh, and Nick, you can introduce yourself. Mike.
Including public university, consider this. What would
cause were not prohibited in public recommendation, such as the FDA funding guidelines. It also does not correct military connection, since it only applies to industry organizations, which, unlike the university organizations, the university does not sponsor or endorse. Similarly, lean harmonics have been formed for more than a decade, yet no government takes over the necessary standards. When the founding fathers chose for amendment, they wrote not to empower the federal government, but to empower the people. Likewise, the free response will not short from males to concede power to the government. It will force the males to concede power to the students. The student assembly must pass the resolution, charge the government to oppose the males to the business. Thank you.
VP Latar, would you like to add anything to that?
No, I think the other is a question.
Okay, great. First up is Representative Barr.
I'm just wondering, is this going to merit the offices of the Cornell Daily Sun op-ed section anytime in the near future?
Yeah, and this has no bearing on the resolution being discussed. Representative Bakumpo.
I'm thinking it's
Brevity. Or is that right?
Do you want to be on Do you want to be on the other one?
Not yet. I know that you have a problem with the prior resolution. Can you talk about how this is different from when you tried to make an amendment before the R44?
So, are you aware of the
IELTS issue from last year?
All right. Could you tell me how this would apply to the IELTS issue from last year?
Obviously,
So I don't think you really answered the question. So how would this apply to the Chi Alpha issue specifically? So it's the same boat, I heard the issue, same boat, contentious issue, but how would it apply?
If I can rephrase the question,
sure.
If I may. So basically, in your First Amendment protections, you're addressing methods of communication, whereas the Chi Alpha case, as well as Resolution 44, was specifically regarding membership. So how would this apply to membership of student groups? No. Okay. So would groups be able to restrict membership and leadership if this were to be in the student activities office contract for independent organizations?
Leadership probably couldn't restrict that.
Leadership would be okay, not members.
People can live in the district.
Representative Min, you spoke,
yeah. Yeah, so just to clarify, this is more of a preventive measure. As far as I know, I have a different example of the line on our own activity to stop the election.
So, two questions. First, what do you mean by intimidation here? What's your... It says intimidation in the third clause there. Could you explain that a little bit? No, I'm sorry. The third part of the First Amendment protection.
I'm sure you know, I don't even like so much effort for that. So you know, like so much attention.
So, for example, if a registered student organization publishes, you know, issues of a magazine that could be considered, you know, intimidating, in the sense, you know, you see where I'm going with this? So, like, what would this do then, in that situation?
Basically, it's kind of like all, it's kind of the same category like an offensive speech where sports doesn't sort of kind of like text like offensive speeches. If it's kind of like direct like intimidation, like I'm just like beat you up, like that fight, like fighting words, like those things probably.
So that standard of fighting words, right?
Yeah.
Where does that derive from?
The standard
of
fighting words?
Yeah. So, and the second question is, how does this is just informational, so how does this differ from the Leonard Law?
How does this differ from the Leonard Law? So, basically, I actually have a topic
in this. Yeah. I mean, if you can, yeah.
Mike, if I can interrupt you here for a second, Mayor Peterson's here, so we'll continue this discussion next week. Thank you. Yeah, we'll table it for next week. Now everyone can join us in welcoming Mayor Carolyn Peterson to the office. Yep, just right here. Yeah, you're right. If you want to take a similar stance to Kevin here, turn your chair sideways, maybe. Whichever makes you comfortable. She doesn't like having her back to the people. Yeah. Yeah, and there isn't any formal structure. I guess we can just have a very loose discussion.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, whatever.
Great. Of course. Yes, he has before. Sure. I know the university has taken full advantage of residential advisors as well as student assistants in the various residence halls and program houses. And we have, I think, one or two RAs in the audience with us today. Basically, they've been instructed to go to every residence at their door, drop off a census form, and they can either return it to their RAs or to the residence hall director's office, where they'll be then mailed in bulk back. I know also aldermen, two alder persons who were Cornell graduates, are planning an event where they will be hanging door hangers in residences in College Town. I'm not sure when the exact date for that is. Okay, yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, and also we provided a space in Willis Street Hall here outside for a few census workers to table and distribute quarter cards and such, as well as setting a space for them in our Lift Your Spirits event, in which approximately 1,000 students came out, and hopefully they were able to distribute quarter cards there. Also, I've been occasionally wearing my census hat, which was given to me by Kevin, but I'm not wearing it today, but... Yeah, I mean, we're doing a pretty good job.
Okay, so
just a quick question while we're on the topic of census. How are any blatant mistakes that might be made by people filling it out corrected? Or are they corrected at all?
Simple.
Okay, great. I guess now we'll open it up to questions, and if anyone from the audience has any questions for the mayor, please raise your hand and I'll acknowledge you. Oh, of course, yeah. Thank you for those comments. First on the speaker's list is Leafy Baby.
So I guess on that same topic, obviously the university's response to suicides has been putting up fences on the bridges. This obviously is sort of a symbiotic relationship between the university and the city. Where, I guess, do you see the city going in the future in terms of your desire to have some kind of physical barriers on bridges? Is this something that the city right now is in favor of in the long run? Are you going to kind of work with the university and sort of, I guess, abide by whatever university judgments they make about what university would like to see in terms of a physical barrier on gorge bridges?
Different from what we had done before. I had comments,
Really quick follow-up. So you said, I guess sort of in your mind, to I guess paraphrase from your words, after they're taken down on June 4th, so in your mind June 4th is a firm deadline, that fences will not exist in the bridges after June 4th? So it has to go up to like community review, common council following June 4th in order for some permanent long-term solution to be enacted?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Representative Gitlin. Sure. Representative Delucian.
Well, I know for personal experience, I've had a lot of people come out.
and they also find rest in the relationship that they have. And I know one night I was almost arrested, even though I already filed for a noise permit. They said that there were two complaints. One higher than not within 25 feet, or I believe even within 500 feet of any other private residence. So I feel like this is more than a target for college students, and it's something that we think we should relook at and seriously consider.
We haven't had anyone approach us in a while, so what year are you?
I'm fine.
So I think it would be worthwhile to have a few people working to actually look at the attorney and the constitution and bringing this forward. We really haven't had anyone come for a while talking about this issue.
Representative Gitlin.
Just a quick question. When is the new, or when is the deadline for the
hearing?
I can send you his contact if you'd like. Yeah. Liaison Rotowall. If you could pass the mic down.
Thank
as a law firm and take inspection, what can you do to help minimize what is the point of
Mayor Peterson, I wanted to check how you're doing on time. It's 6 o'clock now. Do you have time for a couple more questions? Okay, great. Representative Brock.
Hi, thank you for coming. I'm wondering if the council has ever seriously looked at the wide disparity in rental prices near Cornell versus by the Ithaca Commons. I kind of have a feeling, you know, taking out an apartment myself for next year, that it seems as though the landlords around Cornell University have really hijacked the properties and jacked up the prices. So I'm wondering if there's anything the council has done or looked at to prevent landlords from increasing the prices.
Really, not anything looked at as market prices.
The supply and demand.
Thank you.
For one final question, you've already addressed how development and parking are very much intertwined, so I guess if I can get over to the parking aspect of things. I know myself, my car has been towed twice, I had numerous parking tickets on that, but I was just wondering, was there any, I guess, concern or interest among residents to simplify the parking policy? I know it can be a little confusing for people, and I don't know how this applies to the rest of Ithaca, but at least around Cornell's campus, you know, someone might come one night and stick stakes in the ground saying, you know, in 2 days cars can't be parked here, or else you'll be towed, and there isn't really much notification going on. So, yeah.
We have complaints about that. All right.
Okay.
I'm originally from Illinois, and we went
Would there be any space for student involvement in this ad hoc committee, do you think?
There's always space for student involvement. These are ad hoc committees,
so
they don't have
time. Okay. I guess I can email you with more information on them when they come. Yeah. Okay, well. Yep. Absolutely, yeah. Well, thank you very much for being so open and willing to meet with us today.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So, resolution 70 is on the table right now. So it's resolution 70 because basically Alex Stone told us resolution 70. Yeah, just in terms of amending it, that sort of thing. Right. Yeah. So this is it reads on your sheet resolution 11, but it's going to be resolution 70. So I'll give you 5 minutes, and then we'll open up for questions.
So basically, in our charter, we have five actions that we can do: registration, ratification, recommendation, that's the body, that's the community, right? And I think that's the body and recommendation will fall under opinion of the FA. I think there's a lot of overlap. Basically, some of the body structure of opinion, recommendations, like what we'd like to do about this issue. So I thought, you know, we can definitely
year, and then recommendations they went to, you know, that they should be a good faculty member, as well as a three-year study program, an emerging program. So I think there is one of those arguments, and I hope you can come by and allow you to vote on those.
Great. Quick question. Recommendatory?
Sure.
Is it? Interesting. Okay. So first up is VP Basil.
So I guess this is more a suggestion than a question, but I guess for next week, I would also kind of recommend putting in, this would probably be in the parliamentarian's duties for the charter, but that some impartial source parliamentarian would be the one that would be terming each type of action for each resolution, so that there's, you know, some kind of consistent, and that might actually be better served in a separate resolution, but like a companion resolution, so that, you know, you don't have somebody trying to put it in as, you know what I mean? Yeah. You got me. Thanks.
Sure.
Next up, Representative Lucia. Great. Any other questions? All right, so we will table this until next week. Oh, all right. So, yeah, I guess we'll adjourn the meeting. There's nothing else.
We can afford real gas.
He has a gas.
I don't know. I was doing this, and I just really wanted to use this. Harry Potter.
That's right.
It's landed.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.